The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, nerd clan. Head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount to get 15% off my Twisted Epic Mascara. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I got some real red wedding vibes.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Real red wedding. Like, I wonder if this was partly like inspired.
An inspiration for George R.R. Martin.
I know. Germ was all about the Glencoe Massacre life in terms of the Red Wedding.
No joke. You're like, oh, look at this. They're all eating together and making merry. And before you know it, The Reigns of Castamere may be playing.
By the way, hashtag spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Well, before we get into the rest of this show, we wanted to make sure that you knew that Blake and I were all sorts of places. And in particular, if you're hearing this podcast on an app that is not a podcast app, maybe Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, you can actually subscribe to us on a podcast app of your choice. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all by searching Mary and Blake. We would love to remind you to head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. There you can become an official Nerd Clan member. You get great benefits like bonus episodes, premium podcasts like our Keep Calm and Crown On podcast. And our next big podcast that is coming up is The Last Kingdom. And that, of course, was voted on by listeners like you who are members of jointhenerdclan.com. Now, one thing I want to make sure y'all know about is that we are getting close to our 700 member level at jointhenerdclan.com, where you can join for as little as $2 a month.
Yep.
And your voice gets super heard. We're going to be doing a special thing for our friends at Join the Nerd Clan when we hit that 700 mark. So if you've been thinking about it, this is your final warning, guys.
Get some special stuff. And of course, don't forget, too, the Mary and Blake Facebook group as well. Just go to Facebook and check
Everyone
out Mary
can
and
go
Blake.
There. Yeah.
And Mary and I are in there every day checking things out and having fun and making fun of each other and just nerding out with everybody
that loves
the group. So everybody go to jointhenerdclan.com or check out the Facebook group, Mary and Blake. Marvin, are you ready to get into
this episode?
Shall we do it?
We shall. All right, Blake. This chapter is chapter 5, The Massacre of Glencoe. And there was so much like great history in this chapter that I could have read, but the paragraph that I just loved was Graham saying, "It seemed appropriate that our first day should be ending with a trip to the place where they buried the dead. After surviving Sam's driving and the risk of alcohol poisoning at 9 a.m., it seemed the logical conclusion. I couldn't help wondering if this was all part of Sam's larger diabolical plan. Lure me to an island and leave me there, probably with a coconut and a GoPro." And I just loved this because it reminds us that all of this has happened within one day.
Yeah, the whole book so far that we've read, one day.
And still, Graham is like, what have I signed myself up to? You know, we've got all this history. We've got all this whiskey tasting. We've got all this stuff. Now we're going to be with dead people. And by the way, Sam's made a production out of this that he probably will leave me there with a coconut and a GoPro because this is a big deal to him. You know, I just loved it. It made me laugh out loud. So we will delve more into the history, of course. But before we do, it's time for our GBGs. Blake, what is your good, your bad, and your great for chapter 5?
Oh, I'm starting off.
You are.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I thought we'd mix it up. You know, my voice has been on for a little while.
All right, fair enough. The good for me was hearing all the stories of the nitty-gritty history, especially things like hearing the Campbells trying, some of the Campbells trying to warn some of the McDonald's being like, you know what? I don't think you want to sleep here tonight.
So I can be a friend with Campbell's.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really. But like, you should sleep somewhere else tonight, or...
That would have been me. If I was a Campbell, I would have totally been like, guys.
Yeah.
Go the other way.
And then somebody basically, you know, playing the equivalent of the Reigns of Castamere at the party to be like, guys, get out.
Yes, that was awesome.
Please, just get out. Whatever you do, just leave.
Hopefully you know what this music means.
So I really like, again, macro history is awesome. And let's talk about the massacre and let's talk about how that affects, you know, the Highland versus the Lowland and Lowlands and Scotland in general. But it's that little stuff that I, as a historian and someone who really appreciates history, really want.
Agreed.
I really want that nitty gritty. The bad for me, because as much as I loved the nitty gritty, I also didn't get a real sense of why it happened. I understand that it happens, and I understand that they were ordered to kill the McDonald's by the king. And if they didn't kill them, they were going to get hung. I appreciate all of that. But why?
I took it as, A, they were Highlanders, and they were trying to get rid of more of the Highlanders. B, they wanted to make an example out of somebody.
Yeah, but for what purpose? Why them, number one? But also, number two, you're making an example. Okay, what happened? What is the point of the example? Generally, when you make an example of someone, it's because something bad has happened.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense in this chapter.
Right. It says that they did it, and they give somewhat of a reason why the Campbells follow through with it, but they don't really say, okay, what happened? What led up to it? If there is, I am fully willing to admit I'm wrong, and if listeners...
So it says, you know, the McDonald's, they were just, naughty a lot. They were light-fingered, rustling their neighbors' cattle, and generally getting a bad name for themselves. This was partly why they were set upon at Glencoe.
Right.
They had few friends and had amassed a great deal of enemies over the years.
Right. And
so that's part of it.
Yeah, sure. And, that's a very glossed-over reasoning, and, if I were to make a criticism of this chapter, it would be... Okay, let's talk more about that than the experience filming Preston Pans, or talk more about that than the gravestones. See what I'm saying? I want more of that, especially when the title is The Massacre of Glencoe. But the great for me is actually Graham getting hangry and refusing to leave the boat. He's like, nope, not doing it. I love that.
Where's my lady latte?
I love the character that they're making for Graham. This person who is just so high maintenance, refuses to do anything that makes him go out of his way.
Pretty much the opposite of his character in the show.
Absolutely. That is entertainment. And I feel like, even though my bad was what it was, this chapter is a good blend of what
Agreed.
I think this book should be.
Agreed.
Or at least the way that the book was advertised.
Yes.
You know, give me all the history. And give me the history with the two guys sprinkled in.
Agreed.
As opposed to the two guys with history sprinkled in, I said last chapter. So that is my GBG. Marvin, you're good, you're bad, and you're great.
You know, my good is the little stories of their day. This is like a Dear Diary entry of people that I'm interested about them, and I'm interested about where they're exploring. So just like you said, I think this is my favorite chapter so far because it's been a great hybrid.
Sure.
My bad is I'm starting to get confused with all of the different people that they've spoken with in this one day.
Well, you have...
Charlie.
Yeah,
right?
Charlie. Who
and then
is the
Jimmy,
ripped guy.
Maybe?
Sure, Jimmy... Tommy,
so there's Charlie, Chick,
Davey.
Allen telling them about the Battle of the Shirts.
Yes.
Okay. And then
the historian guy, the one that's giving them the tour.
Okay. Is that the only person who was talking in this chapter?
Yeah. I think he's the only one talking in the chapter. There was Charlie was the previous chapter. And then there was the guy at the distillery that they talked to.
There was the beard guy. Is that Charlie?
That's Charlie.
Okay. So then who's this guy?
This is the tour guide.
What's
that
his
they
name?
Had. I don't know, Jimmy or...
Chick? No, this guy's Charlie. This guy is Charlie Chick Allen.
All right, well, who was the other guy?
I don't know. Beard guy?
Yeah, beard guy.
This is what I'm talking about, guys. I'm getting a little confused. There's a lot of people.
Give me one second.
Then they'll reference like their German friend who's doing the filming and stuff. So I'm just getting a little confused with all of these people. And I don't know. I'm just going to picture them all as the bearded guy, I guess, is how it's going to go from here. That he is just following them on his motorcycle. Oh, then there's another guy called Derek.
Sure.
There was some guy named Derek. Because I see Derek tells us there are various tales of soldiers. So who the heck is Derek?
No, I'm telling you, Derek is the one that is the tour guide. And then Charlie is the one with the beard.
I hope so. I don't know. I don't even know. Anyway, that's my bad. Nonetheless,
this all happened in one day. You got so many different people that you're losing track.
And that's the thing. I'm losing track of all these people. I almost think I need them to all physically be described a bit more so I can think of it as that way. And then my great is, drumroll, Blake.
Okay.
I loved all of the history
in this chapter
too. I think I just need Sam and Graham to travel the world and write little books with fun little stories to teach me history. Like,
wow.
I can learn history by Hamilton. I can learn history by watching The Tudors. I can learn history by Sam and Graham.
Mary, you know what you get?
Makes me want to shout.
Yay!
Absolutely.
It also helps that, like, the McDonald's are just mentioned all the time.
The McDonald's.
Which is my dad's side. So my mom's side, the McKenzie's.
Yes.
And my dad's side of the McDonald's. Yeah, and
the McDonald's are getting their asses handed to them.
You know, but it makes so much sense.
This entire book.
Because my dad's always told me, like, you know, you can't be friends with Campbell's. You can't be. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is this a thing in my family?
The McDonald's just can't be friends with anybody. They can't.
And they blamed everybody. Like, I was raised being like, everyone used to steal our sheep. No. No, McDonald's.
You were the giant.
You were the little thieves.
Yes. You were the troublemakers.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And it was everybody else's fault except you.
When I meet my family in Nova Scotia, I'm going to be like, listen.
What'd you do?
Whatever stories you pass to the Americans, they weren't true.
Just make sure you have a plan B, okay? Have a plan B.
Seriously.
The poor McDonald's.
None of them are Enneagram sixes.
None. They're all
about the plan B. They're all the disaster ones. I frequently get that one high when I take the test. Okay, so we've got the cave. We've got the church. What else?
We should be good, right? We got the boats too, right?
Yeah.
The boats will be fine.
Yeah.
We got to go. If we got to go somewhere, we'll just get on the boat, right?
I'm going to have everybody over for dinner. It'll be fine. We'll have them stay for like 12 days. We'll play games. Play some shinty.
Oh, man.
There's no way they can hate us after that.
It'll be totally fine. Yeah, I got some real, like I said, real Red Wedding vibes from this, especially down to the point of we're like, hey, listen, you know, you get into a fight, whatever. You know, you do one thing and you burn some people in a church and you suffocate a bunch of people in a cave. Hey, you know what? In Scotland, those things happen. I'm going to get mad about it, but I'm not going to hold it against you because that's just, hey, it's like it always goes back to the Godfather. That's business. It's not personal.
It's
just
Highland
business.
Hospitality, though. You can. It was fine to lay an ambush or kill a Highlander from a tree or thief from him or burn hundreds of them in a cave, but definitely do not have dinner with them and then kill them.
Exactly.
Nope.
Real red way. When you have dinner with somebody and you murder them in their beds, personal. That is personal.
And then, yeah, like you said, that they had a music. The piper played the lament called Women of the Glen. Knowing any McDonald hearing it would understand it as a warning. No joke, Blake. I think you're right. I think George R. R. Martin thought of the massacre of Glencoe.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the Red Wedding, down to the fact they played this like secret song that you should know doesn't mean will end well. Oh, my
Imagine
goodness.
Being at that party and like having a few beers.
They were having beers for like 12 days.
That's what I'm saying. Like having a few beers and, you know, you're like, man, this party's rocking, dude. We're doing good. We're playing some shinty. We're having a good time. You know, Angus is over here on the tables lifting his kilt. A couple of guys got into some wrestling matches, but hey, that happens. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then like, you're like, man, what is this song? Hey.
Thought we were listening to happy music. Why is he playing the Women of the Glen?
Way to kill a potty, McTavish. Good job.
Seriously.
And then, oops. You know, just unbelievable. I was fascinated by this story. I was fascinated by how they were ordered to kill all these people. And even Graham talking about, like, what must it have been like for these people who get the orders, you know, and you know, the orders are being transferred, you know, secretly, as Graham says, outside in the cold, yep. And
the
people
snow.
Are whispering, and it's blizzard out. I find that phenomenal. Like, it just the history of it, not the act, but the history of it and the story of it. What must have gone through these people's heads?
I don't think I've actually ever heard this song, The Massacre of Glencoe. Probably because I am a McDonald.
Yeah, probably because it's not, you know, they're not playing it for funsies at house parties.
It's not Auld Lang Syne, I'll tell you what. Not in my family. Oh, man. Oh, this is just such a Debbie Downer. You know, I loved also learning just about their different buildings.
Yes.
And the houses, and how they were even built to, like, in the wintertime, house the animals in a portion of their house to block the wind, to bring in some heat, and how stinky that must have been. Mm-hmm. Blake and I have a 7, almost 8-year-old son who is stanky, okay?
Very stanky.
I mean, and I air out that room. We live in New England, so when it gets above 32 degrees,
you can only do so much.
I open up those windows and I can only imagine the cold, brutal Scotland air and not having a 7-year-old tooting machine, but having like
tooting
livestock.
For,
yeah, trying to be classy, Blake. Trying to be classy.
Living with a bunch of cows and goats and chickens running around.
Nope.
Like, you know, they're not potty trained.
Nope.
You know,
not.
Like they're just leaving dumps. Right in your family room. Well, like, what are we doing? What are we talking about?
So gross.
But I do like the idea that they tried to, you know, study these and they were going to rebuild or do a replica of these houses.
So cool.
In the museum, which I thought was really cool.
It said they were supposed to be doing it in 2020. So,
Hashtag COVID. So I doubt that.
I mean, hey, if you're building like an outdoor house.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Maybe. Yeah. You know, just a little less maskage. Yeah, you know, you'd be fine. There we're all going to look back on this time and just. It's going to be like a fever dream. Yeah, remember that time we wore masks for like an entire like year and a half?
I did see just this whole thing about how like when we talk to our, you know, futuristic grandchildren, how they're going to think we're bonkers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that didn't happen.
There was this germ that scared us so much and like was so bad that we just hid in our houses and wore masks.
And watched all the Netflix.
We didn't see people's teeth for a year. Like... people's dental hygiene or like their weird little things they do with their mouths and they're going to forget and then they're going to go back in society and we'll be like, whoa, that person like licks their lips a lot.
People, I think, are going to forget how to be social.
I have forgotten that I shouldn't be. The amount of time that I waste smiling at people when I enter or exit places, whatever. I want to wear a mask that says I'm actually smiling behind this. Because I'm looking at them and I'm like, oh my God, they don't know.
Yeah.
I just was freaking wasting
a smile. You're just staring at somebody.
Just getting wrinkles for no reason.
You have to smize.
I just look angry. So we get this whole thing about how, you know, the Campbells are chilling out, having a good time. Everybody's over for these 12 long days, breaking bread, gambling, drinking, trading stories by the fire. I mean, literally just having a blast, which like, don't you guys have lives?
Right. You think like, don't you got a job that pays you?
Like, they're doing archery, the playing shinty. I actually was envisioning the movie Brave.
Absolutely.
You know, just where how like all those guys are over trying to marry Merida, but they're there for a very long time. So that's what I just pictured. I'm like, it's like Brave from just all these different
guys being dudes.
And then they get this note and they're like, by the way, at 5 a.m. tomorrow, I don't know what you're planning on doing, but you ain't sleeping in.
Right.
You're not going to Starbucks. You're waking up. Kill everyone. Kill them all, as Jamie would say. And
by the way, if I'm late, don't wait.
Yeah, I might be there. I might not. Just you make sure you do it though, okay? Or else
just get it done.
Or else you're a traitor.
Because and then you're gonna die.
Bye. my gosh. Like,
Hearts,
what?
The king.
Yes. Goodness gracious. So there they go. And some of them, like you said, some of them were dropping hints. Some of them were, you know, just whispering. But a lot of them just did their job, man. Wake up, cut you in half.
Yeah. And all those people died, man. All those people died. Crazy to think about that. Crazy. And just as crazy is when Sam is talking about how he was holding a pistol that was on the ground, that was discovered on the ground at Culloden, and how he is like, yeah, this person who held this gun more than likely died in battle,
yeah,
and had one shot, and then used he threw it away, and then he ran and charged, and that was that. Yeah, again, it's those little things, mm-hmm. those little things in history. And as much as I thought that the chapter did pretty well with the story of Glencoe Massacre, I did appreciate some of the stuff that they talked about in terms of their filming for Outlander.
Agreed.
It
was all about the battles.
Yes, it made sense. It was linked. It was Glencoe Massacre adjacent, if you will, which I found appealing. Another thing that too I really liked as well is the White Rose poem that was written, and how you know, this was something that was mentioned last chapter and reiterated this chapter. When you were fighting, you didn't bother looking at kilts.
Yeah.
You were looking at people's hats or the plumes or whatever it is.
Or the rose. Or the fact that they like all pick them up with the Bonnie Prince and put them in their hats.
Right. Like, what happens? What happens if your rose falls off?
You
better put that thing on tight.
Gorilla glue that.
Who's got the... oh, my God. What was the name in the Lego movie? The crazy glue.
The crackle.
The craggle.
Seriously, that would be, with my anxious mind, that would be my fear.
I would need so much craggle.
Seriously, I would make a crown. I would be like, one isn't enough. I'm just going to wear a white hat, okay? There's going to be no doubt what side I'm on.
Oh,
goodness,
man,
gracious.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
Yeah, craggle. So you've got all of this great insight into the battle and knowing that they're looking at the plumes on the top of their heads instead of necessarily their kilts. And then they go off to the island where they have all these dead people.
Right. And I like how there are all these different islands. One where you went to this island to make a deal and you didn't leave the island until you made the deal or one of you was dead.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man. That I, again, find that fascinating.
Agreed.
That this was a known thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're going to the mattresses here on the island.
You're either going to figure it out or when he is dead.
Or you're going to croak.
Yeah.
And one of you is walking off no matter what. So figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like that a lot. And then there is another whole area where people get buried and it's uninhabited. And there's this little building that was erected and that's that.
And not only like did they bring them there to, quote, get buried, but they didn't really even like dig that far. They wanted just to make sure they weren't eaten by wolves, but they would frequently just leave their bodies on the ground, maybe cover them up with like a little bit of dirt. Like, that works.
It's fine.
That's fine. And the fact that like there's this little chapel that really people haven't been in for 50 years.
Yeah,
it's just so neat. This is something, you know, they're really wetting our whistle for the television show Men in Kilts coming out on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just getting more and more excited. I just love Graham because I see him as, you know, Dougal. I just see him as Dougal. Yes, he's been in other films and everything, but he's Dougal in my mind.
Absolutely.
And knowing that he's like, I don't want to go in that kayak.
Yeah,
like,
we're not,
no
I'm
way.
Not doing
I'm
it.
Not. It's the sun is setting. I'm not going in a sea lock. No, 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 no. Absolutely not. Okay, we're going on a boat. And how he mocks Sam with his multiple outfit changes.
Yeah, right.
So, of course, we all know that this is something we need to look to because obviously this is probably going to be a different episode. You know, there'll be the whiskey episode, just like the chapters are broken up, but really it takes place in the same day. So Sam is like, oh, I got to change my outfit. So it's a different...
You just see Sam being like
this. He's like, the storyboard shows that I need to be in a different outfit because this will be airing, you know, episode 4. So I need a different outfit. It was the same day, hashtag magic of television. And Graham like just packed his one outfit.
What do you want me to do?
And he's like, great. Okay, so I'm just going to look like I stayed in the same clothes for 4 days. And Sam, of course, has the perfect wellies.
Oh, absolutely. Of course he does. He's all dressed up. And I could just see Graham being there, being like, Sam, are you kidding me?
Where's my snack? Where's my shortbread?
Where's my shortbread? I need a latte. My blood sugar is low.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
And Sam, on the flip side, reading about him like hauling out this boat. I know he's only 6'3", and Blake, you're 6'4", the height of Jamie Fraser in the book.
Yes, that's right.
But the way that it was described that Sam jumped out in these wellies to pull the boat ashore, I just pictured him like Atlas, like jumping out like this behemoth of a man.
No!
Triangle shaped body inverted, so like the top part is the wide part, just like pulling this little boat like he himself was a tugboat. Like,
oh,
don't worry,
God.
Graham, I'll pull you ashore. And you know when you pull a boat in, I don't know how frequently you've been on boats, Blake, but you know when you pull it in, mm-hmm. and like you can pull it in so people can get out, or you can be really nice and you can like pull it in a lot further so it is nice dry ground. Like, I could just see Sam doing that with such ease to make sure that
just
Lady
like
Latte
holding it with
Graham,
one hand.
Yeah. With his pinky.
And then Graham just be like, I'm not getting out. Yeah. This is ridiculous. I'm not doing it. This is way too dangerous.
In his like nice shoes on these slippery, slippery seaweed covered rocks.
I could totally see him doing that. I can't wait to see if they play this kind of character up in the show. I feel like they will.
Agreed.
But there's also this great admission from Sam where he's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep fucking with him.
Yeah.
The rest of the time. Like, I can't wait to do
this. I also think that this is going to be how our first time in Scotland is going to go.
Oh, totally.
And I'm Sam.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Of course you're going to be.
Tourists stick together.
Here's a quick story.
Me and Jamie Fraser.
Here's a quick story. When we got married, we were planning our honeymoon. And Mary's like, yeah, you know what? Let's go to Ireland and let's go to Scotland. And we'll just travel from...
We'll rent a car.
Yeah, we'll rent a car and we'll just go to these different towns.
We'll find our ancestors in graveyards and like just drink in local pubs that have their name.
And then we'll find places to stay.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was just getting murdered.
Yeah, you like envisioned Taken with Liam Neeson.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't have a special set of skills to defend you. So no, we are not doing that. Is like, that is my nightmare.
Well, we could rent a camper van where I will continually forget to take off the parking brake.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Totally. That is something I would be amenable to. That, let's rent a camper.
No, you wouldn't.
I would, because it's campers are cool, man. I'm in on campers. Because you at least,
no, you'd be,
you got a place for all your stuff.
But you'd be like, we have to be on the other side of the road. I don't know how I feel about
that's
this.
That's true. If we hit a rotary and we're driving on the wrong side, I would flip out.
Exactly.
I would flip out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Point taken.
You know what we should, again, what we ended up doing was just going on a cruise. We went on a cruise to the Mediterranean, which was excellent. But you know what we need to do? We just need to do like a British Isles cruise.
Okay, Blake.
That's what we're going to do.
All right. See you later, COVID. We're coming for you, UK.
Anything else you want to say about this, Jack?
No, I really, really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it, too.
I can't wait to keep on going.
Yep. All right, let's close it up. I got a surprise for you, as a matter of fact. You ready for this? All right, here we go.
Cruel is the snow that sweeps Glencoe and covers the grave of O'Donnell. And cruel was the foe that raped Glencoe and murdered the house of MacDonald. They came in a blizzard.
So this is the song, the Massacre of Glencoe by the Corries.
Yay.
So it was mentioned in this book. I figured, you know what? Let's close it out to this song, shall we?
Very nice.
You're welcome
and
for
sad.
That. Yes, very sad. It's okay though.
Just picture Sam, little Sam, being like, "Excuse me, blind old man, can you please sing me that song of the Massacre of Glencoe?"
Oh man. So yeah, thank you everybody for taking the time to listen to this episode and having fun with us talking about our honeymoon and just people getting murdered in their beds.
Not,
you know,
people, Blake. My family.
Yes, that's true. That is true. Of course, go to maryandblake.com to check out all of our podcasts, including the one for Bridgerton, which is brand new, and This Is Us 2, which is about This Is Us on NBC. even though there's a little bit of a break right now for This Is Us, we are still podcasting strong in the COVID times, and of course Outlander Cast and all the other shows that we have going on over there.
That's right. Well, until next time, lasses and lads, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.